What do you make of the DEI Secret Service?
Well, notice that in the convention, he didn't have the DEI Secret Service, so he must have made a point of saying, get rid of those chubby little women who cannot protect me.
Well, I say get back in the kitchen or learn how to holster your non-binary pistol.
Right.
Why are you saying get back in the kitchen? I'm like, it's a joke. Mm. It's a joke.
Yeah, clearly. You're clearly a misogynist is what the problem is there.
I know, but apparently I'm a misogynist and I'm homophobic.
The point is, these women clearly could not protect him. Some of them were overweight. They were all too short. One of them bent down to pick up his hat and left him exposed. The other one couldn't holster her own weapon, and she was looking around like, what do we do? It's just embarrassing.
He was the calmest one of the lot.
He should be one of the most protected men in the world. The Secret Service should be the top of their game. But the problem is, the head of the director of the Secret Service says that they should have 30% women in the force. Like, well, why? Based on what?
Well, welcome to our Lord Chief Justice and our Lord Supreme Court person.
Right.
They're just women. Great.
Are they good at law? There are some things that men are better at. There's some things that women are better at. That doesn't mean men are better than women or the other way around.
No.
We have different roles, different ways to contribute to society, and that should be a good thing.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
The slightly poorly Father.
Oh, it's all right. It's just a cold.
Is it?
There are worse things. Could be the Wu flu. Who knows? Who cares?
Do you think it's Wu flu? My dad's not very well.
It's going round. A lot of people have got it. But
the China virus.
It's life, right?
It is life, getting ill. Yeah. I haven't got it yet. Am I going to get it off you now?
Probably.
Thanks
but it's
a
good.
Lot.
It's good for your immune system.
It is good. We do have functioning immune systems, which is a really good thing. Other than that, I like your pipe. What does it say in your pipe there, Calv?
It says Common Sense Crusade. Once Jake gets his act together, people will be able to buy these on our store.
I think the Culture Stores is almost ready
to go. It's coming.
The Culture Stores is almost ready to go. And we'll have lots of things on there. Well, let's start with the usual. How is the father? I see he's been making all sorts of friends on the internet this week.
I'm very well. I can't complain. I'm loving being in Cambridge. It's lovely, you know, being in the Ferns, just chilling out. Outside of London, as I'm sure you are very aware of.
Yeah.
That's good, being civilization. Although, I mean, it's not fun being a commuter, but that's the compromise you pay, isn't it?
I'm so bad at commuting. When I got on the train to come down here this morning, I said, it says platform 3, and I go to platform 3, the train arrives, I get on it, and then it goes, this train is terminates here.
Oh, no.
And then I can't get off it.
I didn't know you did public transport.
Well, I do for trains. I love a train. Oh. I'm not so keen about being underground. But anyway, so I get on the train, and then in modern transport, platform 3 is on the same platform as platform 4. So I didn't know. So I got on platform 4, but it was platform 3. So in the end, I made it here. Got here to see you. I made it here eventually. I mean, I tell you what, though. How long have I been in the country? When did I leave? Last week. A week. And I've walked around and, you know, found the great places to walk the dogs and all that sort of stuff. They really look after it around there. You come back to London and absence has not made the heart grow fonder.
Mm.
It is an absolute putrid dump.
It's a cesspit, isn't it?
Of a city.
I know.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, it's not been pleasant at all to come back into town for, it's lovely to see you, obviously.
But, yeah, Andrew.
You know, just to make sure you're not going to set off any more atom bombs on social media. I mean, you're beating me this week.
Why?
I do. It's just, you know.
I'm just tweeting tweets, man. People get so upset.
Is there any part of it that's provocative or not for you?
No, just speak the truth. If the truth offends, then that's on them, not me. I do think I need to be a bit more loving with the truth, if I can. But sometimes I'm just blunt, right? Sometimes people take bluntness as offence, right? Our mutual friend Andy No has launched on me today, saying your attack of X, Y. I'm like, this is not an attack. This is just
what did you? Okay, before we'll get to Andy.
Okay,
later. All right. Calvin.
But people see the truth as an attack. It's like there's nothing attacking about it. It's just straightforward. And yes, you can dilly-dally and go around things and say, oh, you know, put all these caveats in to make it nicer. But The truth is just the truth, man.
The truth is just the truth. And that's what is under attack across the West. And all they've got to do is make us believe the lie, and we're all done.
Yeah.
But look, Trumpy.
You've been causing trouble, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always causing trouble. But I think it's important I see my job to say, you know, now that I've been completely removed from life. excuse me.
Are you ill as well?
You've just given it to me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I see part of my job is to say the unsayable.
It was good to see you back on Dan Wharton.
I love
where
Dan.
It all began.
I know, everyone keeps saying to me, do you and Dan hate each other? I'm like, no.
No, of course
not. We get on really well.
But it's nice to see you reunited.
Yeah, it's good. I really like Dan's show. It's so much, so interesting. It's
really well done.
And good on you, Dan. Mm. I'm sorry. It was my fault that you ended up.
Hey, you freed him. He's liberated now.
I freed him like a bird, didn't I, from a cage. So listen, we've got to start with El Trumpo.
Mm.
What do you make of it?
I tweeted something similar to what you said on Dan's show, in that they try to impeach you, they persecute you, they prosecute you, they try to assassinate you. The problem is, what comes after that?
Yeah.
War.
Mm.
I think America is very fortunate that the gunman missed, and I don't think it was by chance.
You think it was God?
I think it was divine intervention.
Yeah.
I think it was a miracle that we all witnessed. But if he had hit Trump, if he had killed Trump, that would be civil war for America. I've no doubt about that.
It would, wouldn't it? Well, play that out for me. Why? How? What would have happened?
Because the Republicans, the conservatives in that country are already fed up with the stealing of elections, with the painting them all as criminals in January the 6th and
the
stuff like that.
The alleged stealing of elections, Calvin. We're on YouTube.
I didn't say which one was stolen, though, so...
Well, you know... We've got to try and last as long as we can, love, don't we?
I think we're going to lose it today when we get to certain topics. But they've already had enough of the Dems oppressing them. And so if the Dems killed their guy, of course they'd be up in arms, literally up in arms.
What really struck me was how completely surreal the whole thing seems when you survive an assassination attempt.
Oh, yeah.
It all feels very surreal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just that... distance between a bullet hitting someone's ear and what it would have done if it had been an inch to the other side, it would have removed half someone's head.
But that moment is instinct, right? That moment isn't calculated. That moment isn't political. That moment is just showing the true person. And when he got up, first of all, when he's praying on the floor, but when he gets up and says, fight, fight, fight.
What a man.
Love that. That's courage. Whereas we've all seen the footage of Hillary Clinton when there was an attempted assassination on her. She's cowering on the floor, like, oh my gosh, save my life, save my life.
It's interesting that those that wish to kill everyone, so, you know, those that wish to propagate foreign wars for no apparent reason whatsoever. No, but I think that's what Democrats, like, you know, we go to war. I mean, George Bush had a reason to go to war. I mean, I think it was
They always have reasons.
Ill-advised. But, you know, if someone had flown some planes into my buildings, I would go, we heard you, but you will hear us. I can see what the rage would do to someone. Mm. But those that are propagating the current wars around the world seem to really have rejoiced in, like, the people are getting very upset. Some of the people, the free speech people, are getting very upset that libs of TikTok are pointing out people that say, look, this person's happy that the shooter missed.
Mm.
But I think it is wrong to glorify, to go, oh, damn. I would never go, if someone tried to shoot Biden or something, I would never go,
that'd be awful.
Damn, they missed.
That'd be disgusting.
It's really showing the two sides of what humanity are.
Yeah.
Those disciples of death, I've started to call them, and those that believe in the truth and meaning. And I wonder if the reason why they don't care if Trump dies is because they like death anyway. They just think it's one of the things that's kind of cool.
It's not even that they don't care that if he dies. It's they want him to die. They hate him that much. Trump derangement syndrome.
Well, it's not just Trump, though. It's dead. Like, I keep saying to people when I talk about getting cancelled and all the sort of horrible things, it's like you've got to realise that these people aren't just... They're not like, oh, we agree to disagree. They want you dead.
Oh, yeah.
They would be out in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
People that, you know, we know would be out on the street watching while you got put up against a wall and shot. And until we realise that, that you're dealing with that level of ideological conformity, I don't think there's any way we can confront it. But I'm also nervous of going, you know, us and them and all of that sort of thing, because that's what creates wars in the first place. So what does God tell you to do?
In terms of what?
In terms of people that wish death on those, on others.
To love them.
Right.
To love our enemy. Mm. But that's on an individual basis, not really on a collective basis. We're talking collectively here. I think there are demographics that want us dead, that actually hate us.
Mm.
And I don't know how we solve that.
Well, there's definitely a hatred of Christianity.
Yeah.
Like, it's the only religion you can hate. It's the only religion that has no protections to it. It's the only religion that is run, whose figurehead in England is run by a non-Christian, mm. for example. I don't know what Welby is, but he's certainly not a... He doesn't come across as... He doesn't say anything Christian except, like, yeah, gender's fine.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, he's got no, he doesn't seem to have
just
any...
globalist whiff-waff.
Globalist whiff-waff.
Yeah.
That's what we can call this episode. Globalist whiff-waff. So it's a pure attack on Christianity. And maybe, I was watching you say something, like, it's because Christianity is the truth that that is...
Yes, that was on Andrew Gold. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you were...
This is why they attack it, because they know it to be true. It's all an attack on God, actually. It's not even an attack on us. They don't hate us. They hate God. They hate the truth. And they can't face the truth, which is why they're so fervent in their hatred.
Yeah, is it odd that it becomes a hatred of the truth rather than just a denial and disavowal of it?
Yeah, but quite often they have to hate the truth, because if they acknowledged the truth, they would have to change their entire lives, their entire belief structure, and that's difficult. It's like that old argument of, oh, I've forgotten her name now, with the lady who says, you know, the reason that parents are fighting so hard to trans their children is because they've already gone through, you know, chemically castrating their kids, so they have to be right, because if they find out that they were wrong, they've abused their own child, and therefore they've committed the gravest sin. So people cannot face the truth for a whole host of reasons. It would undermine their entire being.
Do you think all of us can't face truth? Because I'm convinced that I deceive myself in many ways.
No, we all do deceive ourselves, and we are all deceived by the great deceiver. But we have to fight against that and embrace the truth. And the whole point of being a Christian is that's what we do. We repent of our sins. When we pick up our cross and get back on the path towards Christ, which is a very narrow path.
It's a very much narrower than people think. Isn't it? I mean, I've sort of realised that I've become much more aware, and the people that I respect always say to me, it's like, you know, let's start looking at other people's behaviour, start looking at your own and all that sort of stuff. But sometimes you've got to look at other people's behaviour and say, this collectively, this ideology is going to bring about the downfall of the whole of the West.
Right.
All of the hard work that our forebears did to try and give us freedom and a better place to live, than, you know, why people get on boats and dinghies to come here. And it's all about to be dismantled.
Yeah, and we care about that. And caring about that is not a bad thing. Mm. We want the West to survive. We want the West to thrive. And therefore, we want it to remain in Christendom. If we wanted it to just... If we didn't care, then we'd just let people get on with whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're authoritarian. It's that we know there is a truth, and we want people to see the truth and to know the truth and to know that Christ is the truth and that he loves them.
Yeah. And also to say, it's better. It's better, right? It's just better. But this, so we're hugely grateful that Trump has survived. And he's actually, I mean, he was way ahead in most of the swing states anyway. And, you know, like, I think the last time someone won Minnesota, a Republican won Minnesota, was Reagan, which ironically was the last time a proper conservative, I mean, Trump's not a conservative, but also Reagan wasn't really a politician in a way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He was an actor. And then Trump isn't really a politician either. So,
but I'm hoping that this changes him. I'm hoping this helps him remove a bit of himself, because he has got a massive ego, right? If he can put a bit of that aside and find more Christ in himself, that would be a good thing. And I'm sure you saw the prophecy. There's this...
That was insane.
Right, someone prophesied that he would get shot on the right ear, and that he would find Christ because of it and become a solid Christian. And I hope I hope that becomes true. Of course, all prophecies should be tested, and the test is to see if it becomes true or not.
Well, he did say that he's going to rewrite his speech, didn't he? He said, I've got this real humdinger. Great speech, perfect speech. He had a humdinger ready, and he said he's going to rewrite the whole thing.
Oh, right.
Imagine what, I mean, I can't imagine, but to be in it literally a centimetre away from dying, what that must do to you on reflection.
Oh, yeah.
But what his instinct, what that fight, fight. Yes. That's what all of us feel. Mm. It's like, we've got to fight this.
Yep.
And he's willing to fight it to the death.
But it gave you goosebumps, didn't it? It was one of those moments that you saw, you're like, okay, I get it. And all the crowd, the reaction to him was fantastic.
What do you make of the DEI Secret Service?
Well, notice that in the convention, he didn't have the DEI Secret Service, so he must have made a point of saying, get rid of those chubby little women who cannot protect me.
I've had some feminist friends, but like feminists that you can deal with,
mm-hmm.
the ones that don't really talk about feminism all the time, the ones that you can cope with. They've been taking a real pop at me this week.
At you? Why?
Well, I said, get back in the kitchen or learn how to holster your non-binary pistol.
Right.
And that was like, I got, first of all, comes in from one woman journalist I know who we're going really well with, then comes in from another one going, why are you saying get back in the kitchen? I'm like, it's a joke.
Mm.
It's a joke.
Yeah, clearly.
And then I got another one saying, I can't bear watching women commentate about football. And then they sent me that one as well.
You're clearly a misogynist is what the problem is there.
I know, but apparently I'm a misogynist and I'm homophobic.
Okay.
So would that make me in the intersectional thing? If I hate women and I hate men as well.
But the point is, these women clearly could not protect him. Some of them were overweight. They were all too short. One of them bent down to pick up his hat and left him exposed. The other one couldn't holster her own weapon. And she was looking around like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? It's just embarrassing.
He was the calmest one of the lot.
He should be one of the most protected men in the world. The Secret Service should be the top of their game. But the problem is, the head of the director of the Secret Service says that they should have 30% women in the force. Like, well, why? Based on what?
Well, welcome to our Lord Chief Justice and our Lord Supreme Court person.
Right.
Yeah, they're just women. Great.
I mean,
are they good at law?
There are some things that men are better at. There's some things that women are better at. That doesn't mean men are better than women or the other way around.
No.
We have different roles, different ways to contribute to society, and that should be a good thing.
Yeah, the homogenization.
It's stupid that this interchangeability of men and women, that we are not the same.
I tell you what, even early into my relationship, my relationship, Lizzie, we very much agree on that simple fact.
Yeah.
And it makes life so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
We disagree on these things. You know, it's just like, that's, you know, you men do that. And we've sort of almost, without even discussing it, I'm sort of dealing with the outside of the house and she's dealing with the inside. We didn't really have a chat about it.
Right.
But I was just like, you don't want to put me in charge of, like, decorating this house.
Mm.
It'll look like student accommodation in about 3 minutes. So you need to be in charge of that. But I can.
Yeah, it needs a woman's touch.
I can cut edges.
Yeah.
Which is good. So we're great. And what about health and safety, Slopey Roofie? Do you make that?
Oh, that was a ridiculous argument, wasn't it? She should just said, we were wrong, we failed. But this is what... Is it just incompetence? Or is there a bigger deep state thing going on
here? I think it's got to be... my view, and it's opinion, and I'm allowed one, YouTube, so you can't censor me, but my view...
Well, they can.
Is, yeah, they can and they will. sorry. But my view is that the more you look at it, the more surreal it becomes. Because there's these people walking around going, there's a guy with a gun on that roof.
There's a guy climbing on that roof. There's a guy there.
There's snipers staring at the guy.
Have you seen the video that's compiled? You can see the different views all at once.
Mm.
Like, they had minutes to get this guy. He should have been taken out straight away. It's absolutely ridiculous that he's allowed to shoot at the president.
That's what makes me wonder. And it makes me very fearful. But then someone said to me, and I said it on Dan's thing, someone quite senior said to me, you need to watch your back.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of this stuff is coming. Yeah. If you won't shut up, you won't start saying what they want you to say. You know, it's acid milkshakes with Nigel at the moment.
Yep.
But, you know, he's a bit Trumpy. He likes walking around and talking to people, doesn't he?
Mm.
You know, it only takes one nasty little nihilist, disciple of death, to... bring an end to the reform parliamentary takeover.
So and this is why we should always speak out against these attacks, whether it's just a milkshake or doesn't matter what it is. No politician, no public figure should be attacked in any way, shape or form.
We would be, if the shoe had been on the other foot, we would all be very compassionate to that. And I really hope that the public is starting to see that this side of the argument, which is like, there is meaning in life, there is a truth. we can get on and love one another and agree to disagree. Yeah. And, you know, you can... I was talking to Lizzie this morning and she said, you won't like this, But she said, I think, I can't remember exactly what the quote was, but it was something along the lines of, I think we should stop being friends with people who support people who don't like us.
Mm.
And I thought that was quite interesting. I need to get
very the wise.
Exact quote. And I said, no, I totally agree with that completely, because it's the toxicity of it. But our side of the argument is essentially is genuinely inclusive of everything except incitement to murder. And then you see Aronovich again. You see Alan Cummings accusing this. You know, we're fired for this crap.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry. Yeah. So when all the free speeches are going, it was a joke the guy said on the Australian thing. I'm like, well, if cancel culture was applied equally, then fine. It's a fucking joke.
But it's not.
But it's not.
Yeah,
it's
you said you wouldn't want to shag a fourth wave feminist who hates men. Done. Your career's done. Mm. Your mate's career's done. His mate's career's done. But someone says Trump should have been shot. Oh, no, that's fine. That's a joke, obviously.
That's my problem with the left. The left always think that it's fine in some way to be like that.
Because they are massive hypocrites and they don't care about their hypocrisy. We've got to stop caring about their hypocrisy because they don't care about it. We keep pointing it out as if it's going to affect them. They don't give a damn.
That's a very, very good point. They don't care about hypocrisy because they're duty-bound to see us as fascists, as Hitler.
Yeah. You James O'Brien was saying that again this week, wasn't he? Well, these people don't know what fascist means. Mm. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, it's very difficult. It's like, if you want to see what a fascist is, just look in the mirror. You know, because that's... It's a fascinating way of... a fascinating worldview, which I've always tried to understand, but I can never really get to the bottom because it requires so much lack of self-knowledge and the concept. I think basically, again, it does come down to God. Mm. It's like, unless you acknowledge... you are a fallen person. You're capable of all of these shitty things yourself. You think of yourself as like a paragon of goodness and a paragon of, you know, everything you're trying to impose on the world is for its own good. Mm. It's really crap.
Well, even Trump, like, there's a purity test for all of us, right? And everyone's like, oh, Trump's not a great guy, blah, blah. None of us are great guys. Mm. But it's about who is going to fight on our side of the fight. Who's going to try to protect the country, the world. I don't see Biden doing any of that.
Biden is a vegetable. I mean, at the end of the day,
Jill or Obama, whoever's running him as the puppet master.
It's Obama, isn't it? It's Obama, and it's Obama's. It's an extension of the Obama thing. I think I've said it before, but Obama was the worst thing that ever happened to America. Trying to prove it, every single time people try and prove that they're not racist.
Yeah.
Something bad happens.
Yeah.
So when they were going, there's not enough black students in top universities in America, so they go, well, let's lower the SAT standards, and then they go into American universities, and then they fall out of the courses because they're not smart enough.
Yeah.
Not blacks, but the black people that are black who are getting needlessly promoted upwards.
Or you make a Mohammedan the chairman of your political party when you pretend to be a centre-right party. I'm not racist. Some of my best chairmen are Muslims. That kind of vibe.
Let me just finish my point
before
we get onto this. So America voted in Obama because the left had constantly been telling America that there was systemic structural racism, of which America did have a problem with structural racism. Yep. And then they had a civil rights movement.
Yep.
Is there more any society can do to integrate people? Yes. Societies are imperfect. But the idea, when they voted Obama in, that's where this pernicious leftism came from. This, you know, Michael Brown could have looked like me, hands up, don't shoot. It's all fucking lie. All of it's a lie. Mm. And so every time you try and do something just because it's someone's skin colour, something bad happens. That's what my thing.
Yeah.
So DEI is an example.
We've always said equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome.
Mm.
And equality of opportunity doesn't dictate equality of outcome either.
Oh, fuck, sorry. Did you see what they did to my Instagram?
No.
This happened yesterday, so I got sent it yesterday by Nats. It said, so I saw an Instagram thing, which I thought was brilliant, and I went, our world is not divided by race, colour, gender, or religion. Our world is divided into wise people and fools, and fools divide themselves by race, colour, gender, or religion.
That's good. Very good.
Instagram bans my post.
What?
It says false information.
What?
Third-party fact-checkers said that the same information was false in another post. There may be small differences.
What do you mean false?
It's false information.
Your opinion is false.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, fucking hell. Sorry, I'm on swear mode, but I mean, that's sort of terrifying, isn't it?
That's crazy.
When you're trying to say that...
You're just making a statement.
Well, this actually brings us on to, we'll get on to keep reform in mind, because well, let's get on to the David Lammy.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Man who absolutely hates America. Yeah. And he, I mean, this is the Labour Party for you. They just have zero ideas. Okay, so this, guys, sorry to have to put you through it. We won't put you through all 4 minutes and 55 seconds of it because, you know, you, Calvin and I would be gone by there. But here we go. Enjoy.
1 year ago today, a police officer on a street corner in Minneapolis murdered George Floyd as he repeatedly said, "I can't breathe." George Floyd looked like me. He could have been me. That's why his death reverberated around the world. People said none of us can breathe when we still face the issues of structural racism in our lives every day. That's why George Floyd's death sparked a global movement stretching from Minneapolis to Manchester to Mile End. Black and white people coming together to say Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter is more than a slogan. George Floyd said, "I can't breathe." That could have been my brother, my nephew, or it could have been me. That's why his death sparked a powerful movement that spread to the workplaces, schools, and onto the streets of our country.
Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy.
So he hates America, but he loves American politics.
Right, go on.
Well, because it's DIE and he's all about DIE. Why is he launching on this St. George Floyd thing? First of all, he called it murder. I'm sure the American courts said it wasn't murder. Mm. So that's legally wrong. But secondly, what's it got to do with our politics here? Anything at all?
Well, it's that it doesn't. What it's indicative of me, the two things that struck me about it were, one, it shows how few ideas the Labour Party have. They're coming in and they're going, "Oh, I don't have any ideas. So what should we do? Okay, well, we'll tax some rich people, make them pay for their private school fees, VAT and that." So that's that done.
Yeah.
We'll welcome in some more migrants and we'll start making everything about skin colour again.
Let's bring Black Lives Matter back. Yay!
It's like, fuck off.
I thought we defeated that one already.
Well, the problem is that because they don't have any idea, it's a recycling of the same thing. So they spend a bit of time on trans and they go back to Pride, they go on to Pride, then they go back to a bit of Me
Too.
But
it's like Black Lives Matter was more than just, it's like, yeah, we know it was more. It was a con. Mm. It was a scheme to make money for people to go and buy mansions in white areas.
And they don't, but also the number of factual inaccuracies in his statement. So it's this idea that we're seeing in the modern media and in the modern political discussion where, you know, as Marjorie Taylor Greene says, journalists are becoming activists now, not journalists. Mm. And politicians are, we've always known politicians were liars, but they don't mind lying openly to, satisfy their base. And that happens on both sides. But the problem with Lammy is, like, he's talking about George Floyd, oddest martyr in the world, degenerate drug addict, serial armed robber, criminal fentanyl addict, who was, at the end of the day, the consequences of his life were the consequences of the choices he made, and that culminated in whatever your views on Derek Chauvin and that. But George Floyd had a lethal dose of fentanyl in his system and was saying, "I can't breathe," before he was even on the ground. Mm. So there are arguments either way, but I just find the fact that Lammy is stoking all that shit up again, it drives me mad. And actually, I think we really got to push back against it this time.
Right.
Because we don't need to go back down that road. We don't, it's very, you know, and we were talking earlier before we started recording with our friend over there, who was talking about Tommy Robinson. Then. Mm. And he said, "I could tell within 2 minutes that he's not a racist person." Yeah. You know? But the approved narrative is that Tommy Robinson is racist. Is he not?
So we've got to keep bashing down those approved narratives.
Well, I think it comes on to this, which I think we're probably going to disagree about this. Mm. It comes on to the N-word. Mm. Why should you, in any society, have a word that only one part of that society can use? And it's highlighted in this video, which I'd quite like to play now, and then I'd like to discuss it.
Okay.
Here you go.
Y'all seen the president, well, the nigga that's running, Doug Trump. He got shot, dog. They shot him. This nigga done been shot, this nigga done went to jail, he done scammed people. Is this nigga my uncle? Who the fuck? Who the hell, he's black, he's officially black now, bro, this is beautiful. They shot him, he was like, yeah, I'm having a fight. He was fine, he was doing like this and walked out with an American flag on him. Like this. He put one of these, like, I'm a real nigga, fuck, nigga, I'm out of here. That's hard, bro. I wasn't even finna vote. I'm voting now, dog. He got it. He won. I wasn't even finna vote. I had no skin in the game. I like, that nigga got shot, he won. Fuck the bullshit. He had real ops, nigga, what the fuck? Joe Biden's biggest op is the stairs, that's it. He had real ops. Somebody really tried to, listen. That's how you know he a real nigga, bro. Joe Biden has been trying to kill himself his whole presidency. So nobody had to kill this nigga. Nobody had to try to kill it. Trump been just ready to go his whole time. And like, we gotta fucking off his ass and missed. And just skit his ear and miss. That's crazy, bro. Hey, Mexican nigga, you fuck with Trump? Yeah? Hell yeah, that was good. Huh? You say amen? He not God, nigga, what the fuck? That was crazy.
It's funny.
It is really funny, isn't it? But did you notice the way that he calls Trump the N-word, which I hate. I hate this like prohibition on the use of the N-word, because it makes the other person say, as I've said to you before, if you say the N-word, the other person immediately says the word in their head. You're forcing them to say it by not saying it.
Okay.
And the fact that he calls Trump one, and then he calls the Mexican guy one, and I'm just like, does the N-word, is it a prerequisite of actually anything anymore other than just one word that one group of people can use against each other? Did white rappers ever use the N-word, do we think?
I don't know. Has Eminem used it?
All right, Eminem's a bit of a bore-off, I've started to notice.
He's a proper Democrat, isn't he?
But
feminist, Eminem.
But what about the N-word, Calv? I'd say either it should be a free-for-all and everyone can use it, or no one can use it. Well, which way?
No.
Otherwise, it's a protected... It's elevating people up to be able to use language and that other people can't use it. It seems to be grossly unfair.
Sure.
And there's a difference between N ending in ER and N ending in A.
I suppose the origin is ER... But then that Afro-American community reclaimed the word and put an A on the end just because of how they speak. So it's a reclaiming of the same word. I don't like the idea of only one word that only certain demographics can use. I think that's stupid. But I don't like the idea of using coarse language anyway.
That's true.
So it's not a word I would use in, but it's obviously part of his common lexicon. In every other sentence, he uses the word.
But he says Trump is one and this Mexican one is one. And you know. So that's white person, and that's all colours of the...
Like when I saw you tweeting, I was like, are you sure you want to tweet that?
Yeah, no, that's why you sent me the WhatsApp. That's why I wanted to discuss it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I see the point you're making. I just don't see the need for any of us to use it, rather than...
There you go. Well, so is that the solution? Is the solution to say, look, right, I get that there's a historical reason why, you know, slave owners and, you know... But in the dark days of the Ku Klux Klan and various things like that, which, by the way, were all Democrats, but, you know, they managed, the internet wasn't around there, so they managed to shift it. They wanted to keep their little slaves, the Democrats did, and fought a war over it. But this idea, I can see why it exists, which is a reminder of the fact that people were oppressed.
Right.
I can also see why when there's, you know, 8 shootings a weekend in places like Detroit and Chicago, all black-run cities with black mayors, black chief of police, black everyone in law enforcement is black, and they're the worst-run cities in the world. And black people are killing black people at rates far, far beyond anyone else in America. And I can see the need to go, look, we were called this, and we're not going to let you forget it.
Yeah, but at the same time, living in that period of history is not healthy. It's not good to stay oppressed. Like once you've got through that civil rights movement, like progress, right? Literally progress.
Because it creates an opposite, doesn't it? This is why I think we need to, someone needs to have a conversation about the N-word. Because if you're creating, if you're allowing people to use that, then it still exists in some way. And it's almost self-flagellating, and it's wrong. So as someone who does, you know, free speech is a much more complex area than, and it's very simple, but it's much more complicated as well. I say that everyone should be able to use it, or no one should. But it shouldn't be, you shouldn't be restricted to a certain demographic.
And are there any other words like that?
Well, they change, don't they? Because you know, the classic example being the Australian cricket. You know, if you watched Australian cricket for a very long time, they were like, the Aussies are coming out to bat and the Peckies are going to bowl now. So it was just a shortening of the word Pakistani, which was immediately weaponized by the left to try and make people who were brown feel oppressed and therefore protected against. But it was never, I don't think whoever came up with the shortening of Pakistani to Paki was thinking, this is how I'm going to be.
Yeah, it's not a direct example, is it? Because I don't think the Pakistani community use that word.
No, they don't call each other. I don't think they do.
No.
Okay, so what
I suppose quite a few people who struggle with same-sex attraction use the F word. Mm. So that might be an example.
Oh, hang on. So people who struggle with same-sex attraction would call someone a faggot.
Mm.
Yeah. But I wonder if
anyone else used it, that would be a hate crime.
What about gay? I don't, you know, I haven't been to a gay club in a while. I don't know whether like gay men use it to each other. Come here, F word.
I don't know.
It's so awful having to say the F word. It's quite interesting. So that might be an example of it. But I don't think we want to restrict language. I think we want to expand
Let's
language.
All do better and use better language. And
you're
not,
right.
Not be degenerate.
That's why you get upset with me, isn't it? That's why the WhatsApp appeared. They're like, ping.
I was just like, are you sure you want to do that?
Well, I want to.
It's 11 o'clock. He's definitely had a drink before tweeting this. Is he going to regret tweeting this?
I don't regret it at all.
No.
I'm like, I think that this was, I want to have that conversation. I've been thinking about it for years because we've had conversations about it millions of times. So I saw his video and I thought, there's a perfect example, you see, because he's calling a white person about the N-word. He's calling a Mexican person the N-word. So is it now time to release the N-word so that we can all say it?
You seem to have gotten away with it. I didn't see any tabloids talking about it.
Well, because it's probably too clever for them, and then also, you know, it's like they're not. I think the tabloids are kind of.
I expected to see headlines: Lawrence Fox N-bomb,
yeah,
racist XYZ.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that word doesn't mean anything anymore either. They've drained that stupid word. Isn't it in just a few short years? 4 years ago, when I got called a racist, I was genuinely upset by it.
Mm.
Really to the point of going through all that litigation and to attack them and to get to try and make that word powerful again.
I've been called a racist a lot lately.
What have you done which is racist?
But this is the thing.
Yes. Oh, we need to get on to your...
Well, this is a different one.
Okay.
I've had the Jews coming after me.
Why are the Jewish people coming after you? What have you done wrong now?
We had the swearing in Parliament, right?
Mm.
And
I saw your
some people chose
that.
Not to swear in on the Bible, and I thought, if you can't swear in on the Bible, should you be are you suitable for office in a Christian country where you're swearing allegiance to a Christian king? Should you be able to do that? And we had 15 people swear on the Quran, and I don't think that the Quran should be a book that is sworn on. It's anti-Christian, anti-British, anti-women, anti-lots of things. It should not be something that's used in the Houses of Parliament. In fact, you know, the woman who gives people the Bible to swear on, she will not touch the Quran. You have to go and do it yourself. It's like special treatment and all this. It's just wrong. And so I put out some kind of tweet about should people be swearing in on that. And the Jews were coming after me.
Well, to be fair, you did put out a tweet about the Jews as well.
No, I didn't. I had the executive of the Jewish Chronicle.
He came back to you because you were criticising the Quran.
Yes, and I had a baron, a lord, who's also... they were coming after me saying, you're racist. Like, what... Which race am I racist towards, blooming idiots? But of course, it wasn't that. It's just they fail to see that Islam hates them. The Islamic faith hates the Jews.
Why do the liberal Jewish left pander to Islam?
I don't know. Because a lot of my Jewish friends were saying, oh, ignore these elitist Jews like this for some reason. I was like, I've never seen this before.
Well, they're all the ones that were murdered.
We have been your strongest allies. The Mohammedans literally want to kill you. Yet you'll side with them on an issue like this. This is bizarre. But then one of them was moaning in my inbox saying, well, you go for the Mohammedans first, then you come for the Jews, right? It's like, you've got to get over this complex because this is not what this is about.
Oh, we've extended it. First of all, they come for the Saturday people, then they go backwards, and then they come for the Sunday people, and then they go for the Friday people. I hold quite a lot of sympathy with your position on this.
Okay.
Even though I don't really... I don't think you should swear by Allah that you are going to thoroughly serve a Christian king, because Allah wouldn't want you to do that.
No. Until 1828...
So you're an apostate to your own religion.
Yeah. But they're allowed to do that because of Takiya, right? So they're allowed to lie and cover up in order to take over, which is what's happening. But until recently, you wouldn't have been able to, unless you're an Anglican, even Disraeli converted, right? You wouldn't have been able to stand for Parliament unless you're an Anglican in this Anglican country. Now, in order to allow Catholics to stand, we did away with that criteria. But I think we should have added the ability for Catholics to stand rather than just getting rid of the restriction on only Anglican standing. I think in a Christian country, only Christians should be standing for Parliament. I wouldn't expect a Christian to be standing for Parliament in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia.
That was my sympathy.
And this is the problem with the Jews coming after me is how many Christians are standing in the Knesset, in the Jewish Parliament, in the Israeli Parliament? Like, it's okay to have a state that's predominantly Jewish for Jewish people, but it's not okay to have a Christian state predominantly Christian people. The hypocrisy again.
It's a compelling argument, my friend. I feel the same. At the same time, I feel that none of the people who are swearing on the Bible, a vast majority of them, don't care either. So that I find that disgusting.
Well, they did make Clive Lewis swear in again, which
I love.
I swear
that
under protest. We should me. Like, so if you can't do it, if you can't swear the oath, get out. Don't serve. If you can't serve in His Majesty's Parliament, in His Majesty's government potentially, then you shouldn't be serving.
He must be a very good MP, because the stuff that comes out of his mouth in Parliament...
How does he get re-elected?
Like, I think I responded when he was like going, I've done to do it again. And I was like, you know, people were more worried about that. I said, no, people are probably more worried that you support the right of autogynephilic men to pump themselves with hormones and try and chest feed a little baby. That's perverse.
Well, he's literally a misogynist. Clive, on your knees, beat Lewis. It's disgusting.
And he's then being Norfolk for Norwich or somewhere like that. That must be a university town or something. So I can't imagine that he's
diversity vote.
He's getting voted in by a bunch of that. But that I sympathise with that. But then the logical conclusion is to just make Britain completely secular. And just go, you can do whatever you want, you practice whatever religion you want, just, you know, and there's no such thing as truth, and there's no God.
There's a difference.
And see how quickly the whole thing falls apart.
Well, we have freedom of worship, so people can worship whichever God they choose, but there's a difference between freedom of worship for the general population and who we elect to represent us in a Christian country. And people keep saying, oh, it's not a Christian country anymore because Christianity is now a minority of... Like, it's a Christian country, literally, as in we have a Christian state, we have a Christian established church, we have a Christian king who can only be Christian, and he's the head of our judiciary, our legislative, our military. Like, it is a Christian country, objectively.
Yeah.
Therefore, people in the Houses of Parliament should be Christian.
I get your absolute, mild rage at the fact that the Knesset is not full of Christians, and the Iranian Parliament is not full of Christians either. I think they do have some Assyrian Christians as part of the of the thing. But it's it is sort of cultural self destruction, isn't it? It's just going. It's again this thing that we're going to aim all our ire against God, the Christian God.
Yes,
the one true God.
Yeah.
We're going to aim all our ire against him. So all of these little religions are really furious that there's one true God.
And it always comes down to this universalism, which is a grave, grave heresy. This idea that all gods are equal, all religions are equal. It doesn't matter who you worship, you'll end up in heaven anyway. And they're praying to the same God, they're just using a different word. It's a lie, a grave, grave lie. It's a deception.
Which brings us very, very beautifully on to a certain Andrew No.
Oh, yeah. Good friend of ours.
A good friend of ours. So,
for some reason, gunning for me on Twitter.
Let's provide a bit of context to this. The wonderful and amazing Harmeet Dhillon.
Yes, she's fantastic.
Who is a she's a lawyer, whatever, an attorney, and you know whatever they call. Mm. She runs Dhillon Law in America.
She's been fighting the good fight on COVID and stuff like that.
She fought the good fight and everything, including Andy No. So that was it. And she turns up to the Republican National Congress and does a prayer. Speak on. Tell us what happened.
She did a prayer to her pagan god.
Tum hi jaani Nanak Das Sada Qurbani.
Dear Waheguru, our one true God, we thank you for creating America as a unique haven on this earth where all people are free to worship according to their faith. We seek your blessings and guidance for our beloved country. Please bless our people with wisdom as they vote in the upcoming election. And please bless with humility, honesty, skill, and integrity all those who conduct the election. Finally, we thank you for the Chardi Kala spirit that we have witnessed in President Trump. That is, the tireless and uplifting spirit that is sustained even in the face of violent adversity, like a founding father centuries ago. And we thank you, dear God, for protecting his life. We thank you for his examples of nirbhaa, fearlessness, and nirvair, the absence of hate when faced with vitriol. These examples of extraordinary calm inspire us. Nanak Naam Chardi Kala Tere Bane Sarbata Pala. May your name forever be exalted, spreading happiness and blessings and good spirit, that everyone may prosper and enjoy the grace of your peace. Thank you.
Now, she absolutely should be invited to the RNC to speak on conservative issues and to speak on the cases she's won and the good fight she's fighting. Absolutely. Right. She should not be leading pagan prayer.
But that's her religion.
That's inappropriate. And indeed, she has freedom of worship to worship in whichever way she chooses. But leading a prayer at the Republican National Convention, that's crossing the line. Conservatives Why? In the West should be conserving Western tradition, which is Christendom, which is Christian
but
she values.
Is a conservative.
But she's not conserving Christianity. And if conservatives are truly conserving Christianity, then they believe that there is one true God. And the first two commandments tell us that our God is a very jealous God, and we should not allow that. We should not be praying to other gods. And so we're breaking those first two commandments. But also all the conservatives say, yeah, but it's okay because she's just using another word for God. It's not another word for God. And she even messaged me in her DM saying, we worship the same God. We do not worship the same God. Do you worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior who died on the cross for us and offers us eternal salvation? No, you do not. Don't lie to me. I hate that lie more than anything. Because
why do you
Jesus,
hate it?
Because Jesus Christ told us there is one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father is through him.
Mm.
He also said the gate to heaven is a very narrow gate.
Can I just push back on your universalism point?
Yes.
To say that I like to think, I probably do lean uncomfortably universalist for you, but I see it in a different way, which is that people who are coming to God come to him, you know, in different, they do come in different ways before they ultimately have to go mm-hmm. via Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe, you know, there's that Harmeet Dhillon does worship the same God as you. She just doesn't know it.
No. Because she's worshiping a different God. She's praying to a false God who may even be a demon. We don't even know how this works. But the problem is, the people who say this kind of stuff say, oh, well, you know.
But she does such what would you do without her? That would
I'm not
be,
saying, I'm not diminishing her work.
I've
praised her work. She's done fantastic work. But I'm saying don't put her on a platform to pray to a false God. Like, appreciate her work. But all these people say, oh, well, you're not evangelizing. Well, they're not no one's evangelizing her while you're saying, okay, get on with whatever you're getting on with. That's letting her down. That's
but don't you want to be able to say to the conservatives across America of all different religions, mm-hmm. conservatism is not a religion. Conservatism is an ideology.
Which supports what? In the West, it supports Christianity.
Well, no,
the West was built on Christianity.
A lot of, you know, a lot of Islam, Muslim people are very conservative, socially conservative.
Sure, but conservatism is a relative ideology, right? So conservatism is different in, say, for example, Iran or Iraq than it would be in United Kingdom or America. United Kingdom is explicitly a Christian country. The England.
That's what you're protecting. It's different. You've got to, because
you're protecting different things depending where you are. America, pretty much all of the states were founded on explicitly Christian principles with Christian values. Their constitutions were explicitly Christian. Even the Constitution of the United States, that is implicitly Christian. The Pledge of Allegiance, the dollar bill, swears to the Christian God implicitly. Like, America is a Christian nation, and they, some of the conservatives say, yeah, we have separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution. That's a later modernization. But separation of church and state simply means that the state cannot impede on the church. It's implied that there will be a church, the Christian church. So conservatives in the West should be conserving or preserving Christianity.
But why then is there a rich, pay unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and why is there a separation of church and state in the first place anyway? Because
for
you don't want
reason.
A theocracy like
we do want a theocracy.
But look at the theocracies around the world.
Uh-huh.
They're not happy places.
The Christian ones are.
Are they? Orthodox Russian?
Orthodox. Russia's not a theocracy.
Well, no, it's not. But you know, look what they've done.
I mean, democracy is not a Christian form of government. But
just help me out. The reason why you separate the church and the state
is so that the state cannot say to the church how it should act. Mm. But it is still implied that the church will be there. The church offers
the
moral compass for the state. No, the church should say what the state... The reason we have Lord Spiritual in the House of Lords is so that the Lords offer that moral compass so that any... Or should be doing anyway. So that any legislation passed in our land is Christian in its nature.
Well,
that's the whole point.
None of the legislation
it's not working because we've got rubbish wet liberals in there. But that's the whole point of it.
Not for long, though, because Tom Twiggenhurst is going to throw his hat into the ring for leadership of the Conservative Party. I like to see people as the potentially saved, right?
We're all potentially saved, right? Salvation is offered to all of us.
I agree with you.
There's one way to get it.
I agree with you. There's one way to get it. But I also think that some people are finding their way.
But you've got to help them. If you say, you get on with your little demon worship over there, that's all very well and good. We're all equal here. It's all inclusive. That's letting them down. That's leading them towards damnation. If you know the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and you're not introducing them to Jesus Christ, you're letting them down.
Well, you are, because you're a minister. What are you?
No, all of us. All Christians, all conservatives.
Yeah.
If you are saying that all ideas are equal, all religions are equal, all gods are equal, you're letting people down.
I don't mean you.
I mean one.
Yeah. I just am very sensitive to the fact that that Harmy Dillon has been incredibly wonderful.
But that's why it's important, because it's easier when it's people...
And
when,
her cultural
when it's
heritage. I think it's her
But when it's a faith
heritage.
We don't like, when it's Islam, right, for example, it's easy to say, no, this is wrong. We shouldn't have a Mohammedan praying in the RNC. I think most people would agree with that. But when it's a person we do like fighting in allegiance with us, it's more difficult to say, look, what you're doing is wrong. And we have to be bolder for Christ. So many people are wet and weak on this. And then we've got the atheists attacking. Andy Ngo is a massive atheist who's saying, this is an attack. How dare you? No, it's a criticism. I wasn't attacking. I actually said she's great and I like her work. So it wasn't an attack. It was saying, I think it was inappropriate for her to be praying there. I think her speech was great. She should speak. But to pray was crossing the line, because all these Christians, so-called Christians, were bowing their heads. It's like, what are you doing? When someone's praying to a false god, you know, Paul tells us about this. Other scriptures tell us about this. We should not engage. We should not take part in it.
Mm. I think the difficulty with your position, whether it's biblically sound or not, which I'll take your word for because you know more about it than mine, is that you immediately put a barrier between you and that person.
Sure.
And what we want to do is, and I suppose what they were doing at the Republican National Convention, is to say, you know, maybe... It's like we are genuinely inclusive. Republicans aren't Christians.
I would say a proper conservative in the West is a Christian. And inclusivity is the argument of the left. We should not be using that argument. They had Amber Rose on the stage too. What, porn star, sleeps around with rappers, and that's her fame. That's her reason for being. Like, why is she there? That's debauched.
Well, can she not be forgiven? Can she not?
Has she repented? No, she's still doing it. She's holding up signs saying "I am an SLUT" and stuff. Like, why is this person being platformed? There's a difference between including.
It was interesting watching Matt Walsh and that argument develop. Actually,
yeah, Matt Walsh was right on all of this.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you sometimes remind me of Matt Walsh.
Thank you. That's a massive compliment.
Good.
We are all sinners, and we acknowledge that we're all sinners. So it's not a purity test. It's not about put the purest person up there, take the sinner down. We are all sinners, but we have to be repentant sinners, and we have to have faith in Christ. And people who are leading others astray, like Amber Rose, should not be platformed.
I don't know enough about Amber Rose. So is she not saying that she's changed her ways?
That's not what I've seen.
Because I know in March this year she was talking about the disciples of that satanic...
Satan, yeah. She was just 4 months ago, she was supporting Satanism.
Yeah.
And now she's on the RNC stage being platformed. That's inappropriate.
Mm. I would say that is a mistake. Also,
but again, it's easier for you to say that because it's black and white, like Satan, Christ. Okay, Satan, no. But for Holly,
I also don't know enough about Sikhism to know...
Do you know it to be true?
I don't know anything about it. I know what the truth is.
Okay, so is it the truth? You know what the truth is. The truth is Jesus Christ.
No, but it's true.
Is this Jesus Christ?
It's true to her.
Well, so is Satanism to Satanists.
Yeah.
If there is a objective truth and you believe in that objective truth,
I suppose I'm saying
you know what's not true.
I'm saying there's a Premier League of religions, and you're saying there isn't.
No,
there is no.
No, there's
Premier
no Premier League. There is one.
I'm
truth.
Saying there's a Premier League of religions, and Christianity always wins it. It gets the treble. It gets the league title, the FA Cup, and the charity.
There is no. Oh, that's not quite as bad. Oh, that's worse. That's a bit. No, there's truth and there's lies. And
so
lies
would you equate? Would you equate the Sikh religion or Buddhism? Actually, you know, everyone commits atrocities, don't they, across the world, including Christians, though.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Christ.
You know, it doesn't make Christ any less true.
But I don't. No, I know it doesn't make Christ any less true. But I don't think it makes. I'm trying to work out how
that Republican.
I think I'm separating out conservatism from religion.
Yeah, which many people do, which I think is a massive mistake. This is why we're falling, because so-called conservatives act like Democrats or Labour or, you know, just general liberals, that all these ideas are equal. It's just universalism. Like, we have to have a truth, and we have to centre our society around the truth.
But should we not centre ourselves around the truth?
So, absolutely.
So I think a lot of the ways that I think and a lot of the things I say are based in my faith.
Mm.
That, you know, and I'm saying probably Harmeet Dhillon would say that a lot of things she does are based in her faith.
Of course she would. But I'm saying exactly that's what a Satanist would say. That's what a Mohammedan would say. Of course they all say it's rooted in their faith.
But
if we know their faith to be untrue and they are potentially being put on a platform to lead people towards falsehoods, that's what's inappropriate. Celebrate your faith if you want. We live in you have freedom of worship. We live in a liberal society. And we would never impose Christianity, but part of Christianity is that freedom of worship. But that doesn't mean platforming falsehoods. It doesn't mean platforming people celebrating or worshipping false idols or false gods.
But
that's what's inappropriate.
The Republican National Convention is not a religious meeting.
No, it's conservatives. So
I think that's where you're making a mistake.
Why?
I don't think...
What are you conserving then?
Well...
What is the West, if not Christendom? What is our society built on, if not Christian values? Do we just say, okay, all values are equal now then?
No, I don't believe...
Then which values do we hold to?
All values should be debated. They should.
But which values should conservatives hold to?
I don't know. I think you'll find that there will be... I don't think you'll find a Christian socialist, but I think you will find a Christian person who leans left over several things.
Sure.
I think there'll be members of the Labour Party who are Christian.
Sure.
You know, so I don't think you have to be a conservative to be a Christian.
No, but if you are conservative, you should be a Christian.
I love you so much. Okay, we're going to go back and forth over this too much. So hit me up with your Takiya Reform chairman thing.
Oh, this was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. So just tell everyone the story.
Well, last week we had a catch up with the deputy of Reform. Who said...
Well, he was the deputy of reform.
He was, at the
when
time.
When we spoke to him, he was not the deputy of reform by the end of the day.
But he said, look, reform's biggest problem is that it's not democratic, and it needs to be a party with members, and they need to
have a say. Money. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and he'd invested money into the party. He'd put a lot of time and effort into the party, and he said it can't be a dictatorship. And I said, well, it's going to be. And then we find out that he's been replaced, he's been booted out, and instead the person who's dropped a load of cash and suddenly came out of nowhere has been promoted to the chairman of the party, happens to be a Mohammedan. How can you have the so-called right-wing party of the United Kingdom, who's supposed to be putting Britain first, Christian values first, as Nigel Farage even said, elect a Mohammedan who has views that are counter to our nation and to our culture? And people say, oh yeah, he gave a good speech. Sure, he gave a good speech, fantastic, but he is not Christian, and he should not be the head of the party.
Yeah, well, I don't like it for different reasons, which is that, A, the Reform Party keeps going on, as our friend said, keeps talking about new members signing up. They're not, they're subscribers.
Yeah, they are subscribers. That's a lie.
To Nigel Farage, I find that is an open and blatant lie. And then the second part of it is that you can buy influence.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, in all aspects of life, you can buy influence in a lot of ways, you know. But I think it wasn't a good day for the Reform Party to do that. And I do agree that if you're going to have, this is where I do agree with you. I think that this whole sort of trying to play all cards at the same time doesn't work. Mm. It decentralizes the message, and the message does have to be a Christian message. Mm. I agree with you 100% on that one, because it just, for want of any other reason, putting aside everything to do with the massive importance of God in everybody's lives, it just is simpler. It will drive every single value that party has will be driven by biblical values and the message.
It quickly became clear why the Reform Party didn't campaign against Pakistani Muslim rape gangs, for example. It quickly became clear why they haven't spoken on the Batley Grammar school teacher, because there's a conflict of interest there now. This is a problem. Reform were pitching themselves as the right-wing party of this country. How can they be so?
They're not. I think there's a major problem with Reform, and I know it sounds like some sour grapes and stuff like that, but I'm more frightened of a benign dictatorship than I am of a complete cluster of idiots, because, you know, the proof is in the pudding, which is if you don't, you know, Ben Habib's campaign,
proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yeah, but Ben Habib was saying this needs to have a formal democratic structure with memberships, with leaders elected for various reasons, and you know, it can't just be a dictatorship.
No,
and I think dictatorships very quickly go wrong. And, you know, they say that communism is not dictatorships, but it is. Mm. It's the same thing. You've got the figurehead, and he or she, but usually he, dictates down the line how it goes. And I think that's a more terrifying prospect.
Well, there's another side to this, in that Nigel Farage is terrified of being painted as a racist.
Yeah, because he wants to stay in the tent.
Yeah, so by electing a brown person as his chairman, he's trying to avoid that.
So he's just playing
the left at their own game, which is never a winning factor.
Well, there are good things to play the left of the game at.
But not in the game of diversity, inclusion, and equality, which is, again, the problem I had with the RNC. It's the same problem I have with Nigel Farage.
I like playing the left at the language, over the N-word. It's like, you can't say that. And then on the BBC this morning, they were talking about gender care for children.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not caring for children, you wankers. So I like to play their game back then, which is to go, you want to call it gender-affirming care, and I want to call it child mutilation cult. Mm-hmm. That is playing their game back at them. Oh, it's so frustrating. But I think it's... My thing, ultimately, is that I 100% support your right to believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. The difficulty I have is that I really 100% support other people's right to believe what they believe. And I'm sort of just going, well, I believe what I believe, and my decisions that I make... Often, you know, I'm very weak in many ways in the fact that I'm impulsive, but I was trained to be impulsive for 22 years, and that's, people always forget that about me. Like, as an actor, you're just trained to react all the time. Your brain is done, so I'm very reactive, and that doesn't help me. But all of my values have come out of my faith. So I sort of don't have a problem with other people's values coming under their faith, as long as they don't interfere with my values. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I just think that's a little bit...
wet.
No, it's not words. It's just not very big picture. Because your values should tell you that there's a way to heaven, and you want to bring other people in.
But does God, does it say in the Bible, I won't go to heaven unless I bring others with me?
No, no, I'm saying they won't unless you let them know.
And if you truly love people, then you've got to take them with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It makes, I mean, look, I'm not going to have a theological argument with you because you're right about this one. I just struggle with it personally because I always feel
it's
like...
It's not easy.
I look at myself and I go, there's so many things that are wrong with me.
Right, there is with all of us.
That I just go, I can really only just manage, like, you know, trying to get through a day without lying.
Sure, but focus on the one thing that's right with us, and that's Jesus Christ, and introduce him to everyone else, or everyone else to him.
I think that is really important to remind people, and I don't know if we've said this before, but I'm sure we have because we've said it personally to each other, is to remind people that you don't need to be perfect in order to have faith.
We can't be perfect.
You're not demanded.
We're striving towards it, but we can't be it.
Yeah, I know, but when people put together their churches and you see the ladies coming out in their very sort of prim and proper outfits and all that sort of stuff, you get this feeling that you've got to be part of that club in order to be a Christian, but you don't.
No.
And actually, there's something quite cool about Christianity, which people don't make the most of. I don't think this idea of this, you know, everyone loved to fight. What is cooler than that? A man getting on a cross. You know, that's, you know, that is the big one. Anyway, so what are you doing for the rest of this week? How long have you got left in Cambridge? And are you going to pop over to the house?
Yeah, I want to come and see it. That'd be nice.
Come over.
Yeah.
When are you going to come? Next week?
We'll sort it out, yeah.
We'll sort it. We could even record Fox and Father from the house.
Have you got a studio set up?
I will do,
okay.
I think, by maybe not next week, but the week after. I'm converting a room. Okay. Well, actually, Lizzie's doing it because, you know, she's much better at that stuff than I am.
Good.
So what have you got on this week as far as, you got Lotus again?
Yes. So as this goes out, I will have been on the Lotus Eaters at 3 p.m. today. That'll be a good show. And what else am I doing? I've got Dan Wotton on Wednesdays, so that'll be good.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's yesterday as this went out. All good fun.
I've said to Dan that we should do the Fox Report again.
Oh, yeah?
But we'll see. We'll see what he does. I think he's just, you know, he's good. I love looking at his viewing figures, and I love going, you're doing really well again, and I love the fact that he's risen out of these horrible little... There's nothing worse than a conservative in name only. And I think that's sort of what you were pushing at.
Yes.
Is this idea that these people that run GB News is, and, you know, these so-called, you know, conservative-y type things have abrogated all of the spiritual responsibility to the cause of conservatism, which is fundamentally linked. So I've got, you've got that, which is good. I'm glad that you're going to do regular Dan. I've got, we are in talks with a sponsor.
Oh, yes.
For the show. So that's great because we got contacted by people who said there's a, some of their customers are saying, have you seen this Fox and Father show? So that's really nice.
Yeah.
So we might have a sponsorship next week, and I'll be sitting there, or you'll be sitting there going, before we go on, and that'll make us the real deal. I am going to, I have a very, very difficult day tomorrow, so please, Thursday, so please pray for me on that one. And then I hope, and I really do pray, that it's the end of this decade of very, very difficult times. And then I'm going to do what I've been doing every single day since I moved to the countryside, which is I get up in the morning and Lizzie and I go and walk the dogs for 2 hours.
Oh, nice.
You know?
That's bliss.
And we talk for 2 hours every morning.
Love it.
Walking along the most beautiful parts of the world. And it sets you up for the rest of your day.
Of course.
And, just sort of relearning skills that I did. Like, you know, I've been very physical this week, and it's just been like, oh, God, it's so nice, and to get a bit out of breath. And so that's really revivified me. So much more of that. Trying to, I mean, it's been very difficult for the reasons, you know, tomorrow morning's stuff. But the minute that's finished, I'm going to reopen my laptop, and I'm going to write that chapter. I hope it is the final bit of that chapter. And as I was saying to Dan, there's a few people who have been very sanctimonious in the public eye, who I know quite a lot about, and I think they should. I'd like people to know how they are in
when put them in the book
when they're not pretending to be who they are. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and it's not that I want to do it. I just want to say, okay, just so we're clear.
Yeah,
you're getting half the story about X person, which people know anyway. But I don't want to. I'm not going to do like a tell-all hit piece book. I want to talk about what it is to what this experience has done to me, why, and all of the great things that come from it, and then. That'll be it. Then I'll be back down here taking a few. I take a few meetings, and I spend sort of a bookend when to what are we say Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday. But I do that, and then I go back, and I'm trying to get back to what it's like to be alive, rather than just like and so nice to just. But even I can feel some of this trauma. I've got to go to the fucking police station next Wednesday. Little bastards. They finish one investigation and then they start another one. I'm half tempted. I think it's about Narinda forgetting to wear her pants. But it's like, while Aronovich calls for murder. It's like, it's not a joke. It's not satire when you're not applying the rules equally. So I was debating whether to not do that. And also this little bit of trauma that stays with you after the sort of experiences I've had is the dogs barked this morning. And I thought, that's the police. And that's yeah, not. That's I've not got good. To get to it's a place where that is not in me, in my soul anymore. I want that gone. And also, I will benefit from being a bit quieter. I was doing really well being quiet on Twitter until the Trump thing, and then I was back on. And then once you're on, you're on, and then you start commenting on lots of things. But the problem is, to like, I leave the phone if I can.
What, for your walks?
Yeah, but I don't. In the end, I take it because I want to take a photo of the dogs having a nice time and go, happy to Monday.
Get a camera.
Yeah, I think it's probably the right way. That was the great thing of phones. They managed to go, you don't need any other detail, any other instrument, do you? Bring back the old camera. I might get a camera.
Yeah, do.
So that's mine. And
good.
And should we go and have some lunch?
Yeah, I feel like I've been intense this week, so I apologise for that. I'm just
it's good
have
you're
less
intense.
Patience when I'm feeling a bit poorly. So.
No, but I think it's
these Conservatives' name only have really riled me up this week.
Chinos, but we need your voice in there, in the same as you need. You know, I think it's and also you're not turning around. You're not turning around and saying you're just saying you're wrong. You're not saying I don't love you. Yeah. You're just saying you're wrong.
Yes,
and people can't. That's the weakness in people.
And if I didn't
actually.
Say it, you're wrong, that would mean I don't love you. I only say it because I love you.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely 100% fine. And I don't think that's intense. I think it's that, like, you know, these conversations don't need to be had in the world. That's why we do the show.
It is.
Ultimately, isn't it? Anyway, I love you.
You too, brother. Let's go get some lunch.
See you next week.
God bless.